Okay, we are in Eicha Perek Gimel. Okay, we were up to the Lamed Samach. Samach. Pasuk Mem Gimel. Page 1276. Perek Dalet Pasuk Mem Gimel. Sakosa ba'afa tirdufenu harakta lo chamalka. Okay, see the word? Sakosa from the word sukkah means you sukkahed us. Now, in Hebrew, there are a lot of words where the first two letters can switch and give meaning to the word. Sukkah is the same as kisa. Samach chav hei is the same as kaf samach hei. There are 100 words like this in the Tanakh. Words where some commentaries say it means the same exact thing, some say it means a slightly different thing, like keves and kesev. Simla and Salma. And many of them in the Torah, but sometimes we explain difficult words later in Tanakh by just switching letters. There's a word plados in Nachum. No one knows what it means. I'll tell you what it means from the context. It's lapidos, flames, right? Are these mistakes? No. The English does this also sometimes. Okay, we spell it in the ER, and in England we spell it RE, whatever it is, but that's what it means. Sakosa here means you covered us. Okay? Because a sukkah has a cover on top. Right? That's what tzchach does, it covers. And you covered us with a cloud. The cloud here is, of course, not necessarily a physical cloud, but represents the passage before points to this. Sakosa ba'afa tirdufenu harakta lo chamalta. You covered us with your anger. Anger isn't a cover, right? Clouds do cover, right? Cloud cover, you ever hear of that? But what's interesting is when it says sakosa be'anon loch me'abor tefila, you covered us with a cloud so that our prayers cannot get through. What? A prayer can't pierce a cloud? What does that mean? Because obviously, it's not an actual physical cloud. It's some kind represents some kind of a barrier between Bnei Israel and God. However, it's fascinating, in the Bavli, in Tainus, it says that you should not establish a fast day that is not set. In other words, don't call a fast day on a cloudy day. You hear that? In other words, today's not a fast day, but this Sunday is a fast day. So this Sunday we're going to fast whether it's sunny or cloud, right? But if you want to establish a fast day because of tragedies, so if it's both, it's just mamish this day, and I have to take care of this day, so I understand. Nothing else I can do. But if it's a tragedy that's looming for a long time, choose a sunny date for the fast. Why? Because of this pasuk. Because it says pasuk mem dalet, our prayers couldn't get through because of the clouds. Schiu ma'os kesimenu b'kerav ha'amim. Schiu ma'os are synonyms. Ma'os is the more common word in Hebrew. It means something disgusting. We are the object of derision and calumny to everybody in the world. B'kerav ha'amim. It means that a poll was taken in New York in 1941. And you can imagine some Jews were part of this poll. But yet, a majority felt that whatever they're doing to the Jews, of course, the ocean, they deserve. They brought it upon themselves. This is in New York. Patsu aleinu pihem. Again, the pay comes before the ayin in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Mem Vav. Patsu aleinu pihem kol oyveinu. Patsu is like to katsu. It's almost like onomatopoetic. Right? Yiftach tells his daughter, Patsisi pi al Hashem v'lo uchal l'shuv. Right, so patsu means they spew out. I'd say patsu is like to spew out the words. All of our enemies do that. Pachad v'fachas hayolanu hashes v'hashaver. But look at this great alliterative pasuk mem zayin. Pachad v'fachas, fear and the pit. It wouldn't read too well in English, but in Hebrew it works very well. As you say in the first two letters, pachad b'fachas, fear and the fear of falling into a pit, right? Maybe literally a pit, or possibly figuratively Hashes the Hashever. You see the word shes? The word sho'ah comes in the same word. Shes the Hashever. Again, he's using an alliteration. Same first letter. Pagimayim terede niyal shever basami. Pagimayim, the streams of water are flowing to my face. You had that image already three or four times in Echa, about the steady tears. It means every day I have something to cry for. Right, so now we go back to the ayin. Right? Remember the image of the pay preceding the ayin. The mouth spoke before the eye saw. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. In this case, it works.
Yeah, well, it's
one runs right into the other.
And the ayin is on the word eini. The pay is the word pe. Look, he uses both words, the ayin and the pay. You see it? He uses the word pihem in pasuk mem vav. He uses the word eini in pasuk mem tes. Enini brav alosit mem ein afugos. The eyes are weakened, and there is no solace. Nothing. No plan. Usually, when you have an infection or something, you have a plan. You get a medication. You have no medicine for this. Okay, ad yashkifu yirah Hashem mishamayim. Ah, now we're turning again. You see the roller coaster ride of this paragraph, right? Remember, we started off with about 20 psukim of extreme desperation. Then about 20 psukim in the middle of the parak with hope and salvation, and God renews me every day, and I've tov yochil v'tumam, all these good things that can happen to me if I can turn around. And then he went back into recognizing his state. And now he says, but I can turn my face, ad yashkifu yirah, because God can turn things around for me. Where did the war turn? 1941 wasn't the coldest winter of the 20th century. Military strategists say that they would have overrun Russia quickly as they overran Poland.
Mm-hmm. Russian winter was cold.
Yeah, they didn't give their soldiers winter coats because they said they'll be home in time for December 25th.
But it was an exception. I didn't know that. Exceptionally cold.
Soldiers didn't get winter coats. Because they wanted to make sure that they knew you're home in a few weeks. Get back to your families. You're just going to... And then we'll take over England. If England was ready to be wiped out, they'd taken over England before Russia wasn't going anywhere. Stalin was obeying the Ribbentrop Pact. Right? His arrogance... But that's what the prophets always guaranteed. The arrogance of the enemy will always take them down. Mm. Arrogance of not even bringing their clothes. The same arrogance that the Russians are having now in Ukraine. They told their soldiers you'll be finished off in a week or two. Okay. So, Eni Ololola Nafshi Mikobano Ziri. My eyes are just so desperate. I see what they're doing to our daughters. So Tsaduni Katsipora Vachinam. They're hunting me down like a bird in a cage. The imagery is, I have no place to hide, I have no place to go, I'm easy pickings. So, Suva Borchayai by Yadu Evanb. This, see, every pasuk is in first person. Do you notice that, remember? Because we said that, Ani Agever, I'm the one. It's Yirmiyahu, they threw him in pits. He's personifying himself for all Klal Yisrael. By Yadu means
he wrote this before he was thrown in the pit, though. He's thrown in the pit at the very end.
Yeah, so when he wrote this is up to consideration. Because you're right, Rashi says that he wrote this when Yehoyakim threw those
in
the fire. So he according to that, but they threw him in pits throughout the first 40 years. The pit that you read about in chapter 37 is that when they threw him into the mud to die.
Yeah.
But you see other places it's not like this because either. Or it could just refer to Klal Yisrael being thrown into pits. So sometimes, in war, they threw them in alive and buried them alive. So, Fu Mayim al Roshi Amarti Mitzolti. They put my water on my head to drown me. And I said, I'm cut off. Rasi Shimcha Hashemi Bor Tachtios. I called out your name, God, from these pits. Koli Shamata Al Talem Az Nechal Rav Chasi Shavasi. This is actually, this is in our liturgy, this pasuk.
Which
We have it in the Yerim liturgy and some Yerim liturgy, especially the Aslichas, fast days. Karavta biyomikreka or Marta Altira. You came close to me, God, when I called you. I felt your presence, even in the midst of all that I'm describing. And you told me, don't fear. Now, is that for an individual? No, it means for the collective. Don't fear. 3 years away, there's the state of Israel. Ravta Adonai rivei nafshi ba'al tochayai. Do you see the hope now that's represented by these psukim? You have a chance. I sometimes give you assignments. Read Yirmiyahu chapter 20. So it's a short paragraph. And you see the same kind of seesaw, the same kind of roller coaster ride that seems to indicate some kind of manic depression. And it quickly goes from one mood to another and back and forth. Right?
It's like Eliyahu.
Raisi Hashem avasasi shavto mishpatei. You see now, avasasi uses means my. It literally means what I just described. Yisibosai iva means to be crooked, to be changing direction all the time. Right, I'm up, I'm down. Right? Okay, so judge me, God. Raisa kol nishmasam makomach shosamei. I take your vengeance out on them for all their thoughts against me, all their plans, and their wanting conferences, and all that. This is not just a happenstance. This was a plan to wipe out our people. Shemata cherpasam Hashem, kol machshavo sam alai. Sifsei kamai ve'agyonam alai kol hayom. This just describes their plans that they're planning against us. The Nazis had already, the Germans were buying land up in New Jersey to build crematoria here after they would wipe out Europe, come to America to burn Jews here. Shiftam bekimasam habita niman dinasam. This looks like Yirmiyahu himself. He uses this mamish, this very same lashon, to describe how they're always singing about him and laughing at him. He's a laughing stock, right? Niman dinasam, I'm the object of their songs. Toshiv lahem demul Hashem kimasei dehem titein lahem dinas leiv talas chodah. Now, in some cases, some of this anger could be reflected against his own people. The Babylonians weren't laughing about Yirmiyahu. The Jews were.
Right, people were.
The Babylonians respected him. When they came, they let him maintain the community. And then they killed that community too. They killed the dog. I have to hope that he's here. He's referring to those who are attacking us from outside the nation. Okay, we're well placed to finish Dalet and Hay the rest of this week because Dalet and Hay together are shorter than one. Right?
Why are you careful to say Hashem?
When I read,
it doesn't matter.
Some portions say that when you read something in Tanakh and God's name appears, you have to read the actual name of God when you're praying. You wouldn't say bracha to Hashem in a bracha. Sometimes I'm afraid maybe I didn't finish the pasuk. So, transition to the Shalmi. Okay, there was one little piece at the end of this sugya that we it's in Chav Gimel on the base, right down here. It's marked. Okay, if you have the Art Scrolls pagination. Art Scrolls pagination, this is the Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, 3 lines from the bottom of the page, the last word in the line. Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, 3 lines from the bottom. Okay. So this is just it's just adding one more line to actually finish the what we were in the middle of the last time, but it's quite a complicated statement here. It says, "Vayishma Moshe es ha'am bochel l'mishpachosav." The Gomer al sheish harayim she'osar lahen Moshe. Very cryptic. Very cryptic. There's nothing in the Bible like this. The beginning of this line says, "Vayishma Moshe es ha'am bochel l'mishpachosav." That's a pasuk in Parshas Bahaloscha. It says the people are crying over their families. The Gemara in the Bible, well documented medrash, it's all over Chazal, that they were crying because of Taras Mishpacha. Crying because the Arayos laws, the laws of sexual restrictions were felt was so beyond what the rest of the world was doing that might be how we differentiate ourselves today more than any other way. You know, there are other dietary codes. Everyone has holidays. Everyone has celebrations and mourning. You know, but our tznius in today's world, our approach towards sexual mores might differentiate us, as Acharimos and Kedoshim mentions. Now the question is, if they were given the Arayos laws back in Parshas Mitzora, Acharimos, Kedoshim, why are they only crying now in Balosa? This is some time later. That's the first thing. Second thing is, what are these six laws that they're crying over? So it says, Al Sheish Arayos Osar Lahem Moshe. It's a lot of discussion in the Mefarshim what these six...
The Gemara is not going to explicate it?
No, that's it. No, just that's it. That's it. We'll continue. Right? So the question is, Rashi cites this medrash, by the way, on the pasuk in his Perush HaTorah in Baal Oscha. And the Mefarshim, and Rashi doesn't tell you. He doesn't tell you what the six arayos are, right? And what it means. What do you mean? What the Bnei Noach? So the simple pshat of what it means is that Bnei Noach were also given arayos. One of the seven bits is Bnei Noach. It doesn't say the Gemara in Sanhedrin. In the seventh parak, it tells us what they're much more limited than our arises. Ben Noah is allowed to marry
his mother and a sister.
And very, very, very limited. And our Yerushalmi, Pashuk Pshat, says we have six more restrictions than the Ben Noah.
That's where we get the six.
So they said, it's enough that we have restrictions on arises as Ben Noah. Now you're giving us more restrictions? So,
one of those six.
Okay, so
Anne should be one of them.
So we see that
two sisters.
So in chapter 18 of Vayikra, there's a list of people you're not supposed to marry or sleep with. Chapter 20 of Vayikra tells you the punishment for marrying those and sleeping with those people. So one's called the Apodictic Law, one's called
Saint Hazuism.
Chapter 18.
Oh, 18 and 20.
One at the end of Acharimos and
in the middle of Kedosh.
So the end of Kedosh. So yeah. So but the Kedosh leaves out two. Yeah. Kedosh leaves out two of the punishments. Two sisters and the aunt, because my two sisters, Moshe's parents were a nephew and aunt. So this the Ben Ezra explains the Torah didn't want to actually list the
barrels
of punishment. Okay. You have a better explanation for why they left those two out, please tell me. So arayos can be divided into three categories. As you know, remember Rabbi Akiva is the most machmir on. He says that if you violate any arayos law, even a kohen marrying a grusha, so you create a mamzer. Right? So you marry someone the Torah told you not to marry, you create a mamzer. You don't paskin that way. You paskin them sort of the middle of the road. There are three different opinions. Rabbi Akiva, the most machmir. The other side is that the only mises tazdin creates a monster. Only if the courts will kill you for this sexual union, which means a mother and a daughter, a mother and a son,
or
a father
or
and
adult. Adult.
Father and adult. Or an adultery, yes. Mises tazdin creates a monster, right? But kares does not. What are some kares?
Aunt,
two sisters, sister-in-law. Sister is only kares, not mises tazdin. So according to that other extreme opinion, It wouldn't create a mamza. But we classify any kares, middle opinion, kares and misa's face then creates a mamza. But not in yisrael.
I thought any marriage that would not be kal. Any relationship that if you tried to marry or would not be kal.
So yes, that's a better explanation because neither does not create a mamza.
That's right. And a non-Jew. And a non-Jew.
Right. Well, non-Jew is not kares. Non-Jew is
a mamza. Right. But meaning you cannot marry a non-Jew but get a
right.
mamza.
Right, so you need a fast definition that fits everything. Okay, so Rashi in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Zayin does list six krisis that Jews are chayav on that Ben Noach are not chayav at all, but they Noach can marry. So he mentions the six krisis. The Korban Eidah here has a different list in Rashi. Okay, but the Gemara says that there the Bnei Noach's Isurim of Arayas generates a this is basic, not Kares. There is no Kares for Noach. Right? So this is what we're talking about. Right? So these are, the problem is that there are a lot more than six. Okay, the Meshech Chachma in his parish to the Pasuk that Mari here cites wants to change the Nusach to Shlosh Esrei. 13, yeah. Because there are 13 Surim in Parshas Acharimus. Okay, I'm just saying this is where it is. So, why does the Gemara mention this? Because it's another thing that the Jews cried over. Right? They cried over Tisha B'Av, the first Tisha B'Av. So Hashem says, you're crying for nothing? I'll give you a reason to cry on this night. B'chiyah l'dobos. Okay? I'll continue. Amalon afil came ma'chamisam. This is how the discussion continued. Right? We're back to when Moshe said, even if your evaluation is true, you say it's impossible to conquer this land. And I'm wrong for studying Orla, and I'm wrong for studying Chodesh, Orla and Chala. Right? Remember? Tell us what you saw. Right? Afilu came. Machamisu. Describe what you saw. It's a land that devours its inhabitants. How are the land devouring its inhabitants? What does that even mean? So there are giants there. And our Gemara darshans it to mean they saw a lot of people dying. That you know from the Talmud Bavli. Everyone's dying here. They saw a lot of funerals. Actually, there's two opinions. The Gemara Sota is the big Gemara about this. It's either that Eov died. Eov lived in
Rashi mentions that, right? Mm-hmm. Rashi mentions that.
Or that just a lot of people died. And Hashem made it so. It was a flood or something. Or a lot of people died. That they were busy burying people, and they weren't focused on these strangers that are walking around. Right? Same, you know, when Yosef's brothers all came in at different, you know, they said Jacob says different gates, and they said, well, who are these guys? And they all look alike. They're dressed alike. And they said, there must be spies. Okay, so Loma. Okay. So we found people dying. Kokiru Davinan Alan, Taman, Havinan Shkachan Mason. Every city we went to, we found people dying. Amalona Kodesh Baruch Hu, Bitola Shah Sisi Lachem Amartim, Eretz Ocheles Yoshveli. God made you, did you a taiva for that way. They were busy with funerals. It was a Tova Sam. Dignitaries died. They were busy with Levayas. Right? Myself in Daphan, says that Eov died. Okay. Proof that they're liars, right, is what follows now. Okay. Everything you saw here was for your benefit.
Hmm.
Right? They were busy mitaplin bay mitapa with the dead. Right? And none of them noticed that you were there. Lo yadabahon, they didn't recognize And that you said that
you were like grasshoppers.
Grasshoppers, that's how you felt. How do you know what they felt? Right? That shows that you're liars. Why did you attribute to them things that you felt? You psyched yourself out. How could they know what the Kanaanim were thinking? It shows that your sole objective was the slander of the land. Okay. Now, the fact, though, is that in Sota Taflam Ches, it says they heard the Canaanites say, who are these grasshoppers that are running around? They heard them say. So our Yerushalmi doesn't have such a tradition, but because here it says you're liars. How do you know what they were thinking? Because I heard them, Bobby would say. Okay? Amal Reb Shimon ben Lavish, Dibru Dvarim Klapei Lamalam, Ki Chazako Mimenim, Amru Kibi Yechol Lo Yochil Lahom. Again, a very big difference between the way the Bavli and Yerushalmi treat the statement. Chazaku mimenu seems to mean they're too strong for us. But you see, mimenu can also mean they're too strong for him. Mimenu in Hebrew can mean the first. Now, in the Bavli, it says, Al tikre mimenu ela mimenu. Now, in the art scrolls, it says to read it mimeno. And many Gemaras put a dot at the top of the vav, because dot tomorrow is usually don't have vocalization. But what is altikrim imenu elam imenu? It's the same word. So I think more grammatically correct is that what the Gemara is saying is altikrim imenu without the dogish and the nun, which means stronger than us, to read imenu, stronger than him.
That's how the art scroll translates in a commentary on the bottom, it quotes this Gemara and the Shaman says. This was really
significant. Men know, it's possible. Men know certainly greater than him. In other words, they didn't feel that God could do this.
Exactly.
So the question is, but what does that mean? Didn't they see God doing?
So they just came out of Egypt, the same thing.
To the Egyptians. What's with that? So explain that. This is not. I'm going beyond the Yerushalmi now. Is that they got so dependent on God for everything they were getting in the desert that they quickly lost any hope of changing their destiny in anything but a supernatural way. But they got used to it because they must have already been told that the Canaanites are not going to be, you're not going to have someone holding up their arms like you had with them. Oh, you've got a strategy. We got the fight. Yes, there's some wars where God rains down Avnei Al-Gabish from heaven against the five nations, right? And you're going to get help from above, but you've got to do the work, the heavy lifting.
More were killed by the rocks than were killed by the issues.
So they couldn't think that they thought was impossible. But unless God will fight for Hashem Ilochem Lochem Batem Tachrishon, like at Kriyas Yamsuf, we can't do this. So that's the real sin of the Moroccan. So that the next three mitzvahs that they got, remember we said this many times, the challah and the sachim and the tzitzis is indicative of it encapsulates the three things that they were getting in the desert. The challah connected the man, and the sachim connected the be'er, and the tzitzis connected the ananim that covers us and protects us. So Hashem says, you can visit. Yes, the smart money would be on the Canaanites against you. You're not trained soldiers. You're not. You don't have weapons. You don't have a lot of food. But you have the strength of your faith that carry you. And the Moroccans said, no. If God isn't going to fight for us here, like He fought for us already, that we're familiar with, then I'll tell you, it's not going to work. That guys, because otherwise you have to say, what kind of mishagas is this? Why would they? Because they're starting to wonder, why are we here in the desert all this time? What's happening? It's not the first rebellion. They made an ADL, they made a complete. There's every new problem. What have you done for me lately? And okay, you did some great things, but right now I'm starving, I'm thirsty, and I'm facing charging Egyptians. Okay, Rav Levi b'shem Rav Chama bar Chanina, v'kol hamulah gedola, v'kol hamulah gedola, shamartem Okay, this is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Yes, God is strong, chazak, but they're stronger, right? So, in other words, how does our Gemara? Why doesn't our Gemara do that? The Al Tikre, like the Bavli. Again, chazak hu mimenu means we're strong, but they're stronger. You get it? Because they just got finished saying how weak they are. But they didn't feel strong at all. So what does chazak hu mimenu must mean? They're stronger than God. You know what I'm saying? After saying that we felt like grasshoppers, they wouldn't say they're stronger than we are. And it's taken, so must be, they're stronger than God. Okay, so this pasuk in Yirmiyahu at the end of the sugya is darshan to refer to the branches of a tree, right, that are cut down. Future doros are cut down. Right? What it means here is that future doros will suffer for being, for what's happening this night. Okay? Can I go on?
Yeah.
Tanya Rabbi Yosef Meir. Yom Shechar Rabbi Habayis, V'yu Motzei Shabbos, U'motzei Shmita, U'mishmarto Shel Yahu Yariv B'Tishbav. Okay. It says Yom Shechar Habayis, same, that's Habayis Rishon, because it says right after, it's V'chein B'Shem. Both temples were destroyed on a Sunday. Remember, they were reading the Wednesday Shira.
Came like on Hashem.
וזהו בזה היו הרבים עומדים על הדוכן ואומרים ויושב עליהם אסונם וברוסם יצמיסם יצמיסם השם אלוקים. That's how Tzilum chapter 94 ends, right? That's why we add another two psukim from the next parak, because we don't want to end the day on such a bad note. You see? Okay? All right? Okay, so they're trying to say that the similar destiny of Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni was just a function of the destiny that was set in that night. That this night should be something so bad. Mm. So that the two substances. Shimon Lakish Baruch Hu Rabbi Yochanan. Mal lomar shir b'lo nisachim. How does this question fit into our discussion here? Because we're talking about all the things that ended at the Churban Beis Hamikdash, right? And when the 12 Levim stood in the Duchen, that's where they brought the Shira. That's where they sang and they poured wine. Okay? Okay? All right, so... okay, this is a digression about the Shira Salavim, since we mentioned chapter 94. Okay, can you have Shira if you don't have wine? Stama didn't have wine then? Right. But they can't sing Shira. Do you see what we're talking about? The famine was very extreme. It's very unlikely that they had wine
right
to pour. Right. But it says here they're saying they were singing Shira.
Okay.
But the Gemara in Bochum says you can't have Shira without wine.
In the desert,
it was something. That is an interesting thing.
Oh, that's a good question.
That, I tell you,
where they get the wine in the desert.
In the desert without Shira. Yeah, so that's a machlokas. See, that's...
That's why they have to bring. I thought that's why they have to bring the stuff in the desert.
Yes,
they
yes. Rabban and Ibn Ezra say that they're perished to the Torah, that the question is why that, you know, in Vayikra is no reference to the Sachem in Vayikra. You know. The Sachem is mentioned in Parsha Shlach. I just mentioned the three things that they said, because in the desert they didn't have libations. Okay, so can you have Shira without libations when one is the base of the Mikdash? That's his question. It's a tangent. Amalei Shnei Nada. Tani Bezeu Bezeu Yehudim Amdim Alachu Aduchan Ramir Vayach Shekalim. So now he answered. Answer from this. From this you shall me. They were singing. They didn't have wine, but they were singing. It's the Shira. So you can't have Shira without Nisach. The Avoh Amar, Palgun Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. V'yochanan amar omim shir v'lo nisachem. Rav Shimon Lakish amar ein omim shir v'lo nisachem. Rav Shimon asked, Rav Shlakish asked the question and he disagreed with the answers. Okay. Shlakish thinks that you can't have shira without wine. Rav Yochanan says that you can have shira without wine. Nar Yushan is the wine. Okay, so Hasib Rav Yochanan and Rav Shimon ben Lakish, but Tani Bazel Bazel, Lavim Omdin Aladukhan, Omrim by Yashav Alayim Sana, Amale Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Ma'at Shmamina. You see what's happening here? There are two versions of this discussion. In this version, Rav Yish Lakish pushes back. Okay? In this version, Yish Lakish is pushing back. He says, I disagree with you. Think that you can't have shiur without nisachim. Amalei me'achar she'ilu nisachim li'yuzmanu shal shiur haya. Right? Rish Lakish felt that ein shiur below nisachim. True, there were no nisachim on that day. Right? Because there was no tamid that was brought that day. Because remember, the tamid was already, shiur of tamid was stopped 2 weeks before. Right? And the Nesachim can be brought long after the Korban. So maybe the Nesachim were brought to allow the Shear from the Tumid that stopped a long time before. Right? Okay, so this price is not proof for Shitas Rav Yochanan. The price is that God saw from this tangent that said that they were singing Shear until in chapter 94 as the base Mikdash was being destroyed. Okay. Rav Yochanan Amar, Shear Shal Yom, Rav Shimon ben Lakish Amar, Shear Shal Esma. Yochanan says that they were singing on the Shir Shal Yom. Now, our Gemara said that the Beis Mikdash was destroyed on the Sunday.
Right.
This is Wednesday's Shir. Rish Lakish can say this is, you could bring the Nesachim from last Wednesday, or 2 Wednesdays, or 3 Wednesdays before. But whatever day Tisha B'Av was, Shir Sof Tammuz was also. It's interesting that in Bava Metzia, when Rish Lakish dies, Rav Yochanan laments in the Gemara that Daf Yud. There's no one left
to
challenge me. Everybody, whenever I say Gemara, they say, "Oh yeah, here's a price." Yesing me. Oh, Gemara, I don't want your yes prices. I know the prices. Don't prove to me from prices. I want you to prove to me from a price that I'm wrong. That's what I challenge. Only Rish Lakish will challenge it. So according to Rabbi Avohu's version of Rish Lakish, it's a challenge. Right? Gemara Menachas Daf Tesvav also discusses this inyan about the Sachin being brought long after the actual carbon. Can I go on to the next opinion?
But I mean, it makes sense because the wine was a seasonal thing. I mean, if you weren't going to bring the wine,
but they stored. They had a storage.
I think they stored the wine. Yeah.
It's some of these storage rooms then, basically.
I mean, they had the wine.
Should close them. Tough. I have a long in my notes. I see a long discussion post for soybean. Gemara's special menachos about this inyan, but it's really tangential to our Gemara, so I'm going to continue. Okay, more on the Mishmaros. Amar Levi Yohi Ariv, Gavrom Meirom Karta. So this, we said that there is a tangent to. We said that it was the Mishmaros of Yohi Ariv, right? So there was an ancient document that listed all 24 Mishmaros. So Yohi Ariv is the name of a person. Meirom is the name of a place. Karta. Where Shimon Yochai is buried, right? Misarvayai, right? So, Mosar Besa L'Shaniyaya was the name of a person, right? Why was he called that? Because he was Moser his house, right? He was Moser his bias to his enemies. Let's see what that means, okay? It was in the Mishmar of Yehoyariv when the Beis Mikdash was Nechah. Right? And it's just facts that the Gemara knows. Amar Barach Yehoyariv. Yehoyariv in Banav al Shemro v'Sarvavo. He says Misarvayai goes back on Yehoyariv. Let's not talk about a different person. There's different opinions about what these names represent. Yedaya Amot Tzikorim. Okay? The Tzipporin means not birds, but Tzipor means a place called Tzipori. I just want to say for a whole big Dvar Torah, it's a beautiful Dvar Torah based on a misreading. It says that Tzvardeya, right, is a frog is called Tzvardeya because it interprets the chirping of birds and it knows what the chirping of the birds mean. The word Tzvar is from the word Tzipor. There's a big note in Parshas Va'era in Menachem Kasher's Torah Shlema that he says no because they croak all night and they stop croaking in the morning. So Tzvardeya means Tzafradeya. They know Tzafra means
they
morning.
Know the lion and the morning.
They know the morning. Not they know birds. They know the morning.
Which kind of goes along with the end of the verse, because that's when the birds start singing.
Yeah, but okay, it could be that that's why the morning is called Tzafra, because it's birds. Mm-hmm. So maybe you revive the. It's very creative to our Torah, but it has to be correct. It has to be based on.
It's a very well known phenomenon that when the solar eclipse occurs in an urban area, suddenly when the sun goes, you start hearing all the birds and the things. I've seen that myself in my own life. I've seen that. So, it's normal 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Sun is covered up. Suddenly, all the insects and the birds are starting chirping as if it's nighttime. Mm-hmm. They have a sense, and then the sun goes away. They stop. My own eyes. Yeah, they should put it in their minds.
This is not Tziporin. Here, Tziporin is.
They don't. No, cloudy is not. It's not good
enough. The name of a place called Tziporin, which is near Tveria.
I have a sense for this.
Okay. Next, yeah. And now we're changing direction. Milkuda Beitar. It's another thing that happened on Tisha B'Av. You see, it's spelled with two tufs there. Beitar. Okay. Rebbe Habidarish Esrim Ba'arban Urdin Bebila Hashem Belochama. Right. This we have this pasuk in Nechab Beitar. Okay. So either they were, you know, they were exiled to Tzipori, like a bird that's out of its place, it can't find its place. So it could be that there is an art scroll's kina, you should bring it in on page 174. It says, Echo Yashva Chavatzelet HaSharon, and based on it makes 24 stanzas, making a kina based on the name of the place. Right? Some prophets do this, like in Ekron Te'oker. Ekron will be Abud, if you get it. Ekron
Te'oker.
Shadad, Ashdod will be Shudad, you know, things like that. So that there is, so it does that with, because our darshan's Tziporin, as if, you know, like there, darshan's, it mentions Tziporin as if the word for bird. Okay, these events appear now, everything we're going to do now appears in Eicha Rabbah, and some you may be familiar with in Gittin, in Perekah Nizofim. Remember those Gemaras in Gittin with Kamsa Bakamsa and to Melech, right? All these terrible stories that started off from nonsense, for pittance, right? Okay. All right, we're going to get some Gemaras now that you're familiar with about Bar Kokhba and the like. Most of what we do now is going to be on Bayis Sheni. Bayis Rishon Gemaras are in Gittin of Sanhedrin. But no, Gittin is Bayis Sheni. The end of Sota also Bayis Sheni, and this is going to be Bayis Sheni. More drushes and bite share. Okay. So when it says Bila Hashem Aloch Amal, Rabbi Yochanan made drusha 24 different ways, and that seems to be what this tina is based on, of doubting the names of the places, which is what we just did. Okay. Darish Ashisin. Now the Shisin is a place where they
underneath the
altar. Right. It's where they pour extra wine. Okay, so All right, so so she's in here now, however, means that these options are not 24, but 60 different ways to dodge. Yochanan, you have zero already. Rebbe did 24, and you're Yochanan did more. Elo, you take the Rebbe, you have Samech Chorban, it's Mukdisha, and Saman Samech Nihirin, Bakidarash, Reinan, Bechadim, Shtakim, Kanan. The reason why Rebbe didn't come up with as many drushes, right, is because Rebbe was so much closer, right, closer to the base of the structure of the temple. Right, so people had some stories from their youth. Right, Rebbe wrote the Mishnah about the year 200. Chorban was a good time before. So Rebbe may have known some people in his own youth who
saw the Beis Hamikdash.
Oh, maybe either saw the Beis Hamikdash or heard from living people that they saw the Beis
Hamikdash. Okay, I mean, Edgus is filled with people who testified that they saw the Beis Hamikdash.
Yes, that they and things so, that they. Ediot means that they saw it themselves. Okay. So when he cried, he had to stop and curtail his drushes. Okay. Right. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan had more introduction. Right. Okay. Because Rabbi was closer to the destruction of his tongue. Amar Yehudafar Rimai, Baruch Rabbi, Hayudorish, Kol Kol Yaakov, Hayudayim De Esav, Kol Shel Yaakov Tzavach, Mimasha, Sulo Yodav Shel Esav. Darshan that pasuk because that we cried so much like the voice of Yaakov because of the hand with the hands based on it. So that's the Bilam thought that he'll
take the coal.
The coal by the person. So we did the cherub. We took the cherub. Since Bilam was like that with the cherub. Tanya of Shuvah Yochai, Akiva Rebbe, Ayodorish, Darach Kochav Miyakov, Darach Kuzba Miyakov. He says, my Rebbe, Hebrew Rebbe, you should say Rebbe, you know, don't say the name. He says, Shimba Yechai was really Hebrew's Talmud Mufar. Right, so we're going to see some exaggerations on some numbers now, but he says that he called Bar Kokhba Bar Kuzba. Now, some say because he came to a place called Kuziba.
Okay.
But we're dashing names of places here. Kuziba also means
star. It's similar to Bilam.
So don't Jose. This is the best you get. This is the source that the Rambam took.
Of what?
That Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. In the Bible, and the Tzadik Dalid in the Seches Sanhedrin.
So they tested him.
Says they tested him if he could smell the justice. Says Baruch Habiris Hashem. Lo mishpat lo b'mare inav yishpot lo b'mishma aznav.
Which is interesting because the Rambam asked that in order to be proven, he has to be the base of the judge. He should have said,
yes, it. Yes. In fact, when the Rambam says, don't think that the Mashiach has to fulfill any certain miracles, because he's a regular man, and then the Ravid writes, when you talk about it, it says in the Gemara that they tested him if he could smell. It takes it literally. So are you shocked? That Gemara is really incomprehensible. Really, they killed Bar Kokhba because he couldn't smell trouble. So Ravanel tries to give it a pshat in Yeshayahu that eyes and ears can be easily deceived. You can tell someone something that's not true and they'll believe it. He's deceived. Your eyes, don't believe your eyes. You know? But the sense of smell is very difficult to deceive. Now we have fake mustard. But at that time, Ravanel says, if you're smelling honey, you know this is not pepper. So it means that it's a figurative way of saying he will not be fooled. She will be fooled. Right? He'll speak truth to power, and everyone will accept it. So, but our Gemara, I think, gives the good historical shot of what the Gemara meant there, that because he couldn't smell justice, they killed him. Not that they killed him, but that he was killed.
But he was killed.
Our Gemara is really, let's see. Let's see, just try to
get that finished.
This is not what Yochanan was. Yochanan, the Torah says, a contemporary. He says, grass will grow out of your cheek. Probably means after you're buried,
pushing daisies.
Don't think that he's alive now. Now, there's archaeological evidence that the base of Mikdash was already beginning to
start.
Amar Yochanan, Kol Adrenus Kesar, Horeg Bebetar, Shmonim Elef Ribo. Shmonim Elef Ribo, guys, is, I think, 8 billion people. So 80,000 times 10,000. So, as I told you, there's going to be a lot of exaggerations in the numbers. Amar Yochanan, Kol Adrenus Kesar, Horeg Bebetar, these millions of soldiers surrounding Beitar, and Bar Kokhba had an army of 200,000 men cut off a finger. That was their test, if they could serve in his army. Echa Rabba says they bit off our bite off. It's ridiculous. Well, that would make them a better soldier, but now I can't grip a sword.
It's not Tom Cruise movie that tested it if you would bite off his finger.
Really?
Yeah. Jack Reacher. He couldn't do it, but someone else could. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was from here. Wow.
So the Gemara then pushes back and it says, no, that can't be.
Yeah.
He would be that they would make him do that. Shalom Chachamim Amrulo, Alema Sayata Oses Yisrael Bali Mumin. Now, Amalehen Bechiech, if Shalom Bokan, how can I test to take along with my army? Amrulo, call me Shein of Rochid, Asusuba, Okira Erez, in the Lebanon, Lo Yenichtav Yisrael Yisrael. He has to be able to ride on a horse and pull up a tree while riding. Wrap your hand around the tree, if you come, it says a cedar. It's crazy too, no?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so that's what he says to do. Small tree. Okay. He had 200,000 that bit off a finger and 200,000 that could pull the tree. This is his misjudgment. He said, I don't need God's help. I need the help of these soldiers. God, you have cast us aside. In other words, God, don't fight for us and don't fight against us. That's what he said. Because remember, we read something like this, describing how God fought against us. So once Bar Kokhba said, God, don't do us any favors. Don't fight against us, then don't fight for us, then the Rabbi Akiva said together. So he said he determined it's impossible. Okay. So we'll see that there is a judgment that has to be made now of whether a certain person is a traitor and deserves to die. But Kochba misjudged the situation. So that's possibly what the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Bavli, is talking about in Sanhedrin. They asked him to smell the judgment. In other words, make a judgment. Is this person a traitor or not?
Huh.
He's not a traitor. So our Gemara now, at length, bears this nature of the story.
They also made a misjudgment with the Boshas.
Boshas, yes. It's downfall, yeah.
It's a downfall.
Downfall, except as the Lashon Hara of Caesar. It's Gemara Shabbos that absolves him of the sin of Batsheva, but doesn't absolve him of the acceptance of Shabbos. So to hear, Bar Kokhba accepted the Lashon Hara of a certain person. It's Rabbi Lazar Hamoda'i. Let's see. It's going to be part of a long story here. Okay. So let's do Shol Shonim Umechta Asa Adrianus Makifa Beitar. 3.5 years was the siege on Beitar. But Yehuda Lazar Amon Dehi Yusheva Asak Vala Eker Nispalo B'chol Yom V'Omer Ribono Olamim Al Toshev B'Din Hayom Al Toshev B'Din Hayom. And every day Rabbi Lazar Amon Dehi was praying, and as long as Rabbi Lazar Amon Dehi prayed, the Romans had no power to overcome Beitar. Boy Andrenius Mezalei Amalei Chatusai, he said, Adrian was wondering, how come I never have to besiege a place for 3 years? What's going on? Why are they succeeding? So remember, the Gemara we did last week said, as long as they can bring the Korban Tumi, you can't destroy your shrine. Here, he heard, as long as this Jew is praying for them, you'll never succeed. They found out who it is, and they saw him praying. So they wanted to ask Rabbi Elazar Amar Da'i. They didn't want to just outright kill him. They thought that would anger their God more. They wanted to get the Jews to kill him. So what they do? They got a Roman to go up to Rabbi Elazar Amar Da'i and whisper something in his ear. Okay, disappears in Icha Rabba.
Right, Icha Rabba. That's right.
And it doesn't appear in the Gemara in Gittin, nor in the Gemara in Sotah, describing the end of the Baal Shem. But it appears in Icha Rabba. So they saw him praying, and they got a soldier to whisper something in there. In the Chamon Eben Yedita, by Sinudabe Bakuzba, Amalon Chaminan Hahan, Saba Mishnah the Chabibach. And they said, we saw a Roman whispering into Rabbi Elazar Amar Da'i's ear. Now, the Gemara doesn't say what they whispered into his ear, or that they whispered anything into his ear. They probably didn't. Before she would say, they just made it to make it look to some people telling Bar-Koch, a Roman went to Elazar Amar Da'i. Amalei, ma'amarlei. What did they tell you? Umar Maloch, what did you tell him? What did you tell him? What did he tell you? Amalei. Ya ana Maloch Malka katal me. He said, if I tell you what he told me, Adrian will come and kill me. If I don't tell you what he told me, you'll kill me. I'd rather be killed by Adrian than be killed by you, because Hamadi Machas go right up to them anything. He said, you're giving up our independence. They took him to Bar Kokhba and they said, what did those people tell you? They didn't tell me anything. He just came close to my ear and didn't say anything. They asked it again, what did they tell you? He said, didn't say anything. They kicked him and they killed him. I'm going to stop here because in the Talmud Bavli, I should say, no, you know what? No. It's
different. Oh, we're going to mark here?
Yeah. So we're going to see that Rabbi Elazar HaModa'i, it says here that the Kutim were in on this. So the Kutim were Jews who didn't keep Torah Shabbat the Torah Shabbat Pad. Right? So the Kutin wanted to make a deal with Hadrian. But they didn't like the fact that they were Jews who wanted to hold out. Rabbi Akiva, according to the Talmud Bavli, according to the Rambam, sided with the rebellion. Didn't end up with it. But there's very little told in history about the treacherous role played by the Kutim in Bar Kokhba revolt, but we're told here about their role in the death of Rabbi Elazar Amar Da'i. In Shas, Rabbi Elazar Amar Da'i was a profound enemy of those who don't hold Torah Shabbat
of the Kutim.
The Kutim. Pirkei Avos, he's the one who says, how semalacha b'chol shamoid, because chol moid is totally dependent on Torah Shabbat Peh to determine its nature, right? Rabbi Elazar Amar Da'i was the one who in Pirkei Avos what he said, the five things that Jews you don't have for, remember? They all have to do with Torah Shabbat Peh in one form or another.
So oh, those are like those are mazal zel chol moid, right?
Moid, Hachim,
Yeah. And the Kutim also, you see, they didn't have the restrictions on Bris Mila. Bris Mila for us is much bigger than for them. They thought just a little tiny little thing. And to them, it was like a Mefer Bris or Shel Avraham Avinu. It's also in that Mishnah.
Right? So they had it in for him.
Had it in for him. So we'll see how this continues.
Okay. Right in the middle of the story about what they did to the village of Mokhe. But when the upshot is, though, that when Bar Kokhba allowed it to happen, that misjudgment is what the Bagli is talking about, when he couldn't smell the justice. For which they failed. Okay?
Thank you.
Everybody have a great day.